There's only one hero who possesses the strength, the skill, and the courage to save the world single-handedly. Glover! Strength? Glover's got the magic and the moves to mash big bad bosses. Skill? Glover's got the brains to solve mind-boggling puzzles. And talk about courage? Glover's got the to handle any challenge. Glover! For Nintendo 64 and PC CD-ROM, gotta love the glove.
Hello and welcome to a very special bonus episode of Into the Aether. It's a low-key video game podcast. My name is Brendan Bigley.
I'm Stephen Hilgers.
I'm AJ Falleri.
Woohoo!
Thank you.
Why are we all here together today? What are we talking about, Stephen?
Immediately putting it on me to explain. Today we are finally, at long last, after intense fan demand... are talking about Glover.
We're talking about Glover.
We're talking about Glover.
It's the Glover, Glover. Bonus.
We have played as much as we wanted to of yep. Glover.
Yeah.
It maybe sounds like as much as was humanly possible.
Yeah. I got Glover on... You can get Glover on Steam. I thought I still had my N64 copy. Growing up, I played Glover 64. But for this for the purposes of this real bonus, I got Glover on Steam Deck and I played the Windows version. If you get Glover on Steam, you can they ask you, almost like a warning, in retrospect it might have been, if you want to play the Windows version or the PlayStation version. Highly recommend playing the Windows version. I will say this of the PlayStation version: this is in an era where like games portability meant it might just be different. Like it might be a different game on PlayStation.
Right.
So Glover on PlayStation is, what if Glover had tank controls and looked worse?
What?
Okay.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow. Wow.
Worse is an interesting word to bring up about Glover.
Okay, I guess I'll take us in if you don't mind. Yeah, I'm going to share my history.
Tell us about your history with Glover.
My history,
what's your
with,
history
Glover?
With Glover. I actually do have a history with Glover.
Me too.
I think a lot of people do. Yeah. I think that's what makes this game like actually kind of interesting. Is this game came out at a time where everyone was trying to make a Mario 64.
Yeah. Right.
It is like so abundantly clear.
Yeah.
That's what this game was trying to be, to the point of like there is a castle surrounded by little warp zones to other levels.
Yeah.
Glover begins actually. I forgot why you are playing as a glove, but there's
amazing
essentially
cutscene.
It's honestly kind of funny. I mean, it's funny to learn the origin of Glover, I should say. There's a wizard and an accident happens like while he's casting a spell, and one glove falls into his cauldron, becoming the villain Cross Stitch. Who is like, what if Oogie Boogie Man, but like scrapped concept art from Nightmare Before Christmas?
Yeah.
And then the other glove just falls out the window, and that's us.
Yeah.
And we're alive now. We have to retrieve all the crystals. I do kind of like there's this like in that cutscene, the crystals like all fly into different areas that become the levels. But to avoid them shattering, the Glover just like snaps and casts a spell on all of them to make them, you know, bouncy balls and stuff. Oh man, this is difficult.
Even
anyway,
just the way you said all of that is like way more charitable than I would have. So I'm really glad that you're taking the lead on this.
I mean, I kind of, I get what they're going for, like a Fantasia kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like
the thing is, everything you just described takes about as long as it took you to describe it. Like the whole, like it could, I think it could have had some like fun Fantasia whimsy to it, but the whole thing lasts like 45 seconds at most.
Yeah.
And then they're like, all right, here's Mr. Tip. He's going to tell you how to play the video game.
Wow.
You mentioned Mr. Tip more than once before recording. I thought that was what did it for you.
Yeah, it was. It was actually.
Mr. Tip is where you're like, I don't want to even engage with this anymore.
Yeah, Mr. Tip is a floating blue hat who gives you the tutorials. And the first thing that Mr. Tip says is press B if you want to talk to me. And I rolled up to him and I pressed B and nothing happened. And then I went up because there was another Mr. Tip in the background and he would talk to me, but the first one wouldn't.
Yeah.
And I was like, Mr. Tip already letting me down in a pretty big way.
Yeah. So Glover growing up was a game, I think I might have just rented it. You mentioned too, AJ, that this is a game that you rented a lot.
A lot, yeah.
I feel like anyone who's around our age, you probably maybe rented this. maybe also like what was that game? Oh my God, Chameleon Twist.
We were talking about it earlier today that I rented Chameleon Twist a lot.
Yeah, there was just a whole legion of like Mario 64 like clones that were there to be rented.
Yeah,
that was not the intention, but that's just what ended up happening.
Yeah,
because I think like when you're, you know, this came out when I was like 6 or 7.
Yeah.
You're starting to get your own taste of that age, but you're also accepting things implicitly, which is like the perfect time to end up renting Glover. Because like, oh, this kind of looks like what I'm engaging with. This is like, you know, and
it's like what Mario has on his hands.
Playing this game, my takeaway from Glover was this makes Banjo-Kazooie even more miraculous to me, because I feel like Gex, Croc, Spyro, Crash, Glover, we're bouncing around years a little bit, but like all of those games were going after like, what's the 3D mascot, like how can we make another 3D mascot platformer. I think Crash and Spyro are definitely like good games, like I think those are in a league of their own, but Banjo-Kazooie was the one on N64 that I would say rivaled Mario 64.
Yeah, it was a contemporary.
It had its own identity.
And I think the reason why is it focused on different things. Like no one can really top Mario in terms of just like platforming ability.
Not even Glover.
I was doing so well. Banjo-Kazooie was more about kind of experience. Like, I think even when you're playing, I'll say it, a good Nintendo 64 game,
Ayo.
there's this mindset you have to take of like 3D was new. Like even playing something as miraculous as Ocarina of Time, there are some moments where it's like the Deku Tree is still wonderful, but like imagine this when 3D was new and this is like a tutorial of a 3D dungeon.
Yeah, what do you mean you go up?
Right, exactly.
Yeah. What do you mean I go back down?
Glover, I'll give Glover this. I think designing around the idea of like different momentum abilities that were based on like weight and texture, I think was really ambitious for this time. You know, so essentially how it works is like there's like a bunch of levels on this hub world, and there are 3 or 4 levels and then a boss. Should not have had boss fights in this game.
Should not have had boss fights.
If you are not designing around bosses, don't have bosses. I'll say that about even good games too. Uncharted should not have bosses.
Yeah. That's the one thing, complete tangent. That's the one thing that really gets me about, did you watch Psych Odyssey, the Psychonauts 2 documentary?
No, I still have to.
A huge multi-episode arc of that show is Tim Schafer demanding that they add boss fights to Psychonauts 2.
What?
And everyone in Double Fine being like, we get that you want boss fights, but that's not why people are here.
Yeah.
And it was one of the things, you know, Psych Odyssey is a whole thing. But that was one of the things that he just put his foot down. He's like, I'm sorry, I own the studio and I think there should be bosses in this, so there's going to be bosses in it. And like, that was it. And that was kind of the end of the discussion. But I walked away from that being like, I actually do think that game would be better without bosses. And I feel the same way about Glover. Glover is just like Psychonauts 2, is what I'm saying.
So the goal of Glover is, once you have like all the crystals have been turned into balls and you can turn the crystal into a bouncing ball, a heavy bowling ball, a little marble, or just the crystal itself.
Yeah.
And you have to get that ball to a goal on the level. And honestly, like when I learned A, that the PlayStation version is cursed, and B, when I was in the first world, I was like, this isn't terrible. I was like, this is like kind of a cute, like if thinking back to when I was literally a child when this came out, I can see why I liked playing it. I think like, you know, there doesn't really need to be a like more kid friendly version of Mario 64, but I think when 3D is new and when you're at a young age, this was not a bad like exploration of 3D and momentum and all of that. So like when I was playing the first world, I was like, this isn't terrible. And then the second world is a weird carnival, and that's where I just had to stop playing.
Yeah.
Like they just introduce more mechanics, and there's a whole level built around waiting for a balloon.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, this is no longer fun. And at a certain point, we give games a fair shot all the time, but I think you need to know where to draw a line in the sand. And for me, it's world 2 of Glover. So my verdict on Glover is like, to compare it against the other, like Gex, actually, I think is a good example.
Yeah.
I would say it's like about as good as Gex 2 is. Both games are pretty bad to okay.
Yeah.
So that's where I would put this one.
Wow.
But I actually think it's probably better than Gex because it's not horribly offensive.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Glover has definitely aged better than Gex.
Yes.
With the glaring exception of Mr. Tip's existence.
I forgot. I actually blocked out Mr. Tip again, even in the time of this recording.
AJ, tell me about Glover.
Like Steven said, I ran at this game a lot as a kid.
Also, just to paint the picture, we're all cosplaying as Cross Stitch right now.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
in case you couldn't hear our fabric kind of, you know, rustling around. Yeah, that's
that
a
might
good
make
cross
it through
stitch.
Noise reduction. We'll see. No, yeah, I did rent this game a lot as a kid, though. But I think, ironically, I don't think I ever made it past the second world.
Yeah.
Not by choice. I just
you have
couldn't
taste.
Beat it.
Yeah.
No.
Oh.
I mean, no,
this is terrible.
That was AJ.
That was me at 6 years old.
Yeah.
Wow.
Also, was that like a game over line from Glover? I haven't heard him talk.
Physics aren't quite there yet.
Yeah.
I do. Okay. But speaking of physics, and correct me if I'm wrong, and maybe this is a later level in the second world. I don't know. I remember the carnival world. I don't remember anything after it. That's why I'm thinking I stopped.
No one does. Actually, the game just like crashes if you beat the wait for a balloon level.
Yeah.
That was me with Sonic the Hedgehog. I can never make it past the second. Like the Rome.
Chemical plant zone?
The Pompeii.
That's the third one.
Oh, is it the third one?
Yeah.
Oh, I never made it past that one.
Mm. Fourth one's Casino. I think.
Wow, you did.
Oh yeah, I did, or my siblings. We don't need. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about Glover today.
I think it's important to know that if you beat Sonic the Hedgehog,
beat Sonic the Hedgehog,
but you made it further than I did.
Yes,
but you couldn't get past the second world of Glover.
I can get past the second world of Glover. There is a part, and I might be making this up, but I'm pretty sure there's a part where you had to throw the ball up like several levels.
Probably.
Of different.
That sounds right.
Different size platforms. And I could never do it.
I feel like there's a version of this game, not to backseat design Glover two decades later, but what else are we going to do? Mm-hmm. I feel like there's a version of this game that's like an isometric puzzle game that could have been, I think, way more focused. I think they got, like, it got caught up in the, like, puzzle element of, like, how do you navigate this ball around this environment with the 3D worlds are new, and they don't really mix.
Yeah.
Because there's a precision required that is not given to you based on the slippery kind of controls.
Right.
Because the rubber ball feels like what they assume you're going to have most of the time.
Yeah.
And it is so slippery. And like,
I do remember
it
that.
I actually am impressed by the bouncing of it. Like, I think that is like a pretty impressive physic for this time.
Yeah.
But just like, and when you're in water, you're like, the glove is running on the ball, but then suddenly the controls are backwards and like, that's not fun.
Yeah.
So I guess I was impressed by how ambitious this game is. I wasn't prepared for that, but I think it definitely was maybe too much for the time.
Yeah. Sorry, I laughed at the beginning, toward the beginning of you saying that it could be isometric, because I do think you're right. But then my thought was, what if Glover was Into the Breach?
I lost my favorite glove. Years down the drain.
Turn-based tactics Glover.
I would love that.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Anyway, Brendan, what's your experience with Glover?
Oh yeah, I had a family friend who was like extremely wealthy, and they just had everything all the time. And I just remember this one
magic
time.
Gloves.
They had magic gloves. Yeah, one of them went out the window. One of them went in a cauldron. I just remember it, like,
Cousin Cross Stitch is coming over this Thanksgiving.
I shouldn't have taken a sip of water.
They took me up to like their big like computer video game room, and they're
like, course.
"Check this out," and put Glover on, and I was, and I was like, "Whoa!" Like,
yeah,
I've talked about this on the show. My experience with video games at that point was just not being able to beat Sonic the Hedgehog. So seeing 3D, and here's the thing about Glover. Like the most charitable thing I could possibly say about Glover. You look at that box, you look at that character design, it looks like it should be a smash hit.
It looks fun as hell.
Like, it looks incredible. Like, that is great character design. It is perfect for that exact time period. Like, they nailed almost everything visually.
They got the mascot down.
They got the mascot down.
Yeah.
And I agree with you that mechanically it's really ambitious, it just doesn't work is the thing. Like, at the end of the day, like, I also started, I was like, oh man, here I come, I'm gonna be the Glover guy, and like literally within 5 minutes I was like, I am not the Glover guy. There's no way. Anyway, they showed me Glover and then they showed me Croc, like, back to back, and I was
God.
Like, man, I'd only heard of Mario, and yet here are two other guys that are not Mario.
Wow.
Who look as cool as Mario.
Just wait until you meet Master Chief.
dude, just a few short years away, I can be John 117.
Because we're bringing up a lot of other mascot platformers.
Right.
What's
like
your
John 117?
If you had the champion one that isn't Mario of this time, the Ooh. 90s, who would you choose?
One.
Ooh. One Nintendo one?
No, specifically
no, no, no,
not. I mean,
not
like,
Nintendo.
Like any of these games that were clearly going after Ooh. Mario 64. Honestly, for me, and I haven't played it super recently, but recently enough that I would feel confident saying the first Spyro, I think, succeeded at, like, it wasn't necessarily a platformer, but I loved just running around the world of that game. Like, the hub world was really fun to just, like, headbutt. And, you know, I think they succeeded on the kind of Banjo-Kazooie, like, this is more about the setting and experiences over the platforming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Spyro definitely had mascot energy. I'd never played a Spyro game, and yet I knew what it was like.
I guess
Banjo-Kazooie Spyro, you know?
Would be mine, but yeah, Spyro is my like favorite non-Nintendo one for sure of this era. The later ones lost the plot, but that first one still good.
Yeah, I can't even think of any
of that era. I don't know.
I feel like Banjo-Kazooie is a little bit of a cop out.
That to me is like
it was my first thought also.
Yeah, that's like that they did it.
That's
they were
the one. Yeah,
that's the one. But I'm trying to think if there are any others that like. I mean, I guess Crash, but Crash feels like its own
Whoa.
Genre.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That like scratched a really good piece of my brain when you both did that. That felt really good.
Crash Bandicoot. Crash.
I loved
2.
I loved Crash Bandicoot.
Crash 2 specifically was my favorite one.
Wrath
Crash
of Cortex?
Crash 1 is not good.
Wrath of Cortex.
Yeah, that one, there's a weird, like, elusive man relationship that Crash has with Neo Cortex where he's kind of working for him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
And then your sister keeps trying to hack in, like, don't listen to him.
Yeah. It's too late, but the one that I think of, and this is a strange pick, but it is Sly Cooper.
Yeah.
I think, like, you know, we're now in the PS2 era, so we're like so far removed from Glover, but and Mario 64, obviously. But I think of all of the attempts at PlayStation mascots, Sly Cooper always felt like it had the most interesting ideas, the like sneaking, but you were like a cartoon guy, you were doing a heist. Even just like the graphic design was, I think, really interesting. Like the Sly, like
the logo and stuff.
Yeah, the logo that he like leaves whenever he's his calling card that he leaves whenever he does a heist and stuff. Like that image is so iconic immediately. Mm-hmm. Way more iconic than Aiden Pierce's hat.
Okay.
Sorry, I can't say the word iconic without thinking of the fact that
if you
pre-ordered Watch Dogs, you got Aiden Pierce's iconic hat, and everyone was like,
before the game came out.
Yeah, everyone was like, who is Aiden Pierce? And what is his hat? Anyway, actually, Aiden Pierce's iconic hat's logo, which is the Watch Dogs logo, looks a lot like the Sly Cooper logo I'm talking about right now. Now that I think about
it. That's probably why you brought it up.
Yeah, it is fox shaped.
Dude, funny how
Sly Cooper's a raccoon.
Brains work.
Pattern recognition?
I think it's telling that you chose Sly Cooper, though, because I think all the mascots that worked all chose slightly different genres to go after.
Yeah.
Like, I just think it was it was a doomed battle to just try to do Mario.
Just don't be Mario. Yeah. Mario's Mario.
Mario's Mario, exactly.
Yeah. That's the fallacy of the, like, you know, all the grunge bands in Seattle, like, hanging out with Pearl Jam and trying to become famous simultaneously. It's like, at the end of the day, it's just going to be Pearl Jam.
Right. Mm. And Nirvana and Alice in Chains.
That's true. There are
Black
a lot
Hole
more.
Sun.
Yeah, yeah. You're right. All right.
Stone Devil Pilots.
Glover's pretty rough. It was a pretty rough experience, but I agree, because I think the thing for me is, like, I just kept bumping up against, like, I want this to be good. It has all the pieces of a thing that is good, but it is not good. Like, I just kept being like, oh, cool, I could sit here and I can spin the ball on my hand and I'm watching it turn into a bowling ball and a marble and the crystal.
I did spend a lot of time doing that as a kid, just spinning the ball.
Oh my God, the best thing in this game. This is actually the nicest thing I'll say about Glover. The actual best thing in this game is if you don't have the ball and you hold, I forget what button it is, but you hold one of the buttons and Glover just lies down on the ground and he just stares at the sky. And as long as you hold the button
Brendan
down,
Brendan is just laid down on the ground.
As long as you hold the button down, he just stares at the sky. And I was like, this is the ghost from Undertale.
Wow. Yeah,
he
even
has
the
same face.
Eyes. Yeah. Oh my God.
And I
Toby Fox, if you're listening, is Glover Napsta Blue?
I would love to know, for real. This is not a joke. I spent more time lying on the ground in Glover than I did That's not true. But I spent a lot of time on my own.
Going back to like going back to
this is not a lie. That's not true.
Going back to them nailing the mascot of it though, I do like his animations, like his running around.
His personality is great.
Yeah, I think that's important. And I.
I'm sorry, I'm imagining. He just has so many funny little animations. This is the thing that frustrates me. It's like so much of it is so good.
There's so much character.
The animation when he like winds up and goes smack and like smacks the ball is so funny. And on purpose. That's the other thing.
Yes.
It's funny on purpose.
Yes.
It's not like, oh, we're sitting here clowning on this game that like was trying to take itself. It's like, you know, it's funny on purpose. It's supposed
to be a cartoon. That's why when you ask most people about this game, their memories are fond. Like most people I know who know of Glover have played it decades ago and think it was good. That's like the legacy. I don't want this
episode for 5 days.
Yeah, I don't want this episode to be like Glover's bad actually. It's just that we revisited it and did not have a great time with it. I do think they were close.
Yeah.
They were a lot closer than a lot of these types of games.
I do wish I'd played Croc before we recorded.
I'm curious about Croc.
I literally don't remember anything except for the cover.
Croc, you had to save these weird fuzzy things called gobos. I do remember that. I think it has tank controls. And I also think this could be wrong, but I remember reading that it was originally pitched as a Yoshi game.
Whoa.
And then that team left Nintendo and made Croc. That feels like a rumor.
Yeah, that doesn't feel real.
But I'll just add it here because when are we going to talk about Croc again? Google it and find out for yourself.
Next,
I'm probably wrong.
April 1st, we'll talk about Croc. I'm not promising that.
Yeah. I only played Croc 2, the Game Boy Color port.
Ooh.
Not good. Not good. At the time, as a kid, not good.
I mean, we're leaving out one of the big 3D mascots. Conker.
Oh.
Conker had...
I can't believe this isn't a Conker's Bad Fur Day episode. That's actually more surprising than us talking about Glover.
Yeah. Conker's Bad Fur Day aside, before he had his Bad Fur Day, he had a bunch of weird Game Boy Color games that were like find your neighbor's birthday present and like were like really like for like a very, very young audience.
Yes.
But then he had a Bad Fur Day.
Which I feel like Conker's Bad Fur Day is like the frustration of anyone who had to work on one of these games turned into a video game.
Wow.
Like, I don't think it's like, I doubt any of that humor has held up well, but reading it like Rare being like, I'm so sick. We're so sick of having to make a mascot game. I don't know if that actually went into it, but like talking about all these attempts at trying to make a 3D mascot platformer and then the fact that that era basically ended with Conker's Bad Fur Day is very illuminating in one lens.
It is interesting to think about the fact that Conker had a bad fur like that
that was so even keel, you know.
I think
to see him have a bad fur day.
I think what's interesting about Conker having a bad fur day and turning into who he did is that it implies that like Conker was the Batman of his universe and that there is a Joker out there who
that's
like
Glover.
Yeah. Everyone is one bad day away from turning into the Joker. That's the Joker's whole deal.
I don't like talking about Conker as if he's a real person.
What about Batman?
Oh, man. I thought he had like a pretty decent observation there. Any other thoughts on Glover before we wrap up and give him a hand?
Oh my god.
I had to.
I don't think so.
Only play Glover for 5 days.
On PlayStation 1.
On the N64.
No, yeah, on N64 or Windows.
Play the N64 one. That's what I did.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was fine. Great theme song.
Yeah, the music's not bad.
I think AJ, if you can throw the Glover scream in here somewhere.
Our Glover scream?
No, Glover's
the
screen.
Real
oh,
screen.
The actual real
yeah,
Glover screen.
Okay, so
I was like, do you want to go back to episode 40 with the Glover screen?
I really always try to avoid to Bazinga myself, but the fact that this episode exists, there's probably a decent amount of people listening expecting the Glover screen. My original interpretation of it is not super accurate. Actually, I'm wondering. I mean, it is like my original attempt at it was much higher pitched.
Yeah.
But it is that like violent. Like it is like, it's like.
Yeah.
Yeah. My original was like.
Oh, okay. I was about to tell you to not do that. Because we are in somebody else's house.
You can cut that.
Well, no, now that we have it recorded.
Yeah. No, that's staying in there.
Okay.
There's people above us.
Yeah. we're in Boston for PAX. That's why, and that's why, if it sounds weird, that's why, because we're in Boston for PAX. Anyway, here's the real Glover scream.
Thank you so much to everybody for listening to this bonus episode about Glover. It's
special.
It's a video game you can get for the N64 or for Steam. Definitely play the Windows version.
I will say that on Steam Deck, it's not bad. It runs okay. My ProtonDB review of Glover would be silver. Goodbye.
Yeah, thank you for listening. For
Thanks.
Real. Into the Cast Out Online, baby. I don't know what day this is coming out, but there might be an episode in a couple
days.
The
day didn't factor into this episode at all.
Yeah.
You know? It could be the first or last.
Monday, April 1st is the day.
It's Monday. Oh, yeah, cool. See you again on Wednesday when we have a normal episode.
Cool.
Not about Glover.
And if you're not already, go listen to Frog of the Week.
Go listen to Frog of the Week.
That
also came out today.
Mondays, baby.
Mondays.
Some say it's the Frogger of Glover.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
PWG, the worst garbage, the